You're listening to the Practical Islamic Finance Podcast, where we help people globally build wealth in a halal way. We hope you find it useful and fun. Anything you hear in this podcast is not to be understood as personalized financial or investment advice and only represents the views of the speaker. Investing entails risk, including loss of principal. Be sure to do your own due diligence before you make any investment decisions. Some of the episodes of this podcast are audio versions of corresponding Practical Islamic Finance YouTube videos. If you want to watch the video version of the podcast, simply go to the Practical Islamic Finance YouTube channel. And now, without further ado, Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum and peace be upon you all. Inflation, the feeling you get after eating Cinnabon. Also, a word that refers to the general increase in prices. Inflation is said to occur when a dollar today purchases less than what it used to be able to purchase. You may have heard this word thrown around quite a lot as of late, and this for good reason. The annual inflation rate in the US accelerated to 8.3% in April of 2022, nearing the highest level in 40 years. So the question that suggests itself in this environment is, what are the best performing assets in an inflationary environment? Another way of asking this same question is, where should investors put their money when inflation is high? We'll be looking at some of the available options in this video. The first of these options is cash. Cash is obviously a tough position to hold, considering the definition of inflation is that cash is losing its purchasing power. We mentioned earlier that as of April 2022, cash lost 8.3% of its purchasing power in the US in the last 12 months. Mind you, this is a lot better than many other places in the world. Turkey reportedly registered an annual inflation rate of nearly 70% during the same time period. That said, Turkey had a rather extreme experience with inflation during this period. Inflation tends to be less than 10% annually for most developing and developed countries around the world. So while not exactly offering the most attractive returns, cash holders in most currencies around the world did a lot better than, say, ARK Invest holders in the last 12 months, who are down close to 60%. So cash isn't necessarily a horrible option, even in times of inflation. It all depends really on what alternatives you have and the time horizon for your investing. There's also a type of cash generated return that I think is overlooked by many investors, and this return comes from peace of mind. When the sky is seemingly falling, having enough cash to cover your expenses for the next 6 months will work wonders on your state of mind and your stress levels. A peaceful state of mind will pay cascading dividends that impact your general health and mental clarity, which ultimately impacts the quality of your decision making, including your investment decisions, which ultimately yields actual monetary returns. Warren Buffett certainly seems to agree with this thinking. He and partner Charlie Munger have pledged to always keep at least $30 billion in reserve. The duo want Berkshire Hathaway to be financially impregnable and never dependent on the kindness of strangers or even that of friends. Both of us like to sleep soundly, Buffett said, and we want our creditors, insurance claimants, and you to do so as well. This philosophy of prioritizing sound sleep is likely at least partially responsible for the general good health Warren Buffett enjoys, even after 90 years of age, despite the fact that every time I see him, this man is downing a can of Coke. The second obvious investment option is stocks. Stocks are a mixed bag in periods of high inflation. To the extent a company can raise the prices of its goods and services, the company's revenue will rise as it raises prices, but its expenses will likely rise too. The question is whether the rise in revenue outpaces the rise in costs or the opposite. This largely depends on how much pricing power the company has. Many companies, especially those selling non-essential items, won't be able to raise their prices without destroying some of their customer demand. Take, for example, a restaurant. If it starts raising its prices, it may motivate would-be patrons to start eating at home more often. Additionally, inflation tends to cause policymakers to raise interest rates in order to combat inflation, as we are seeing. And as lending becomes more attractive because interest rates are higher, more investors will pull their money out of stocks and into lending products such as bonds, which causes a general reduction in stock prices. So which stocks perform the best during periods of high inflation? Well, I got three words for you. Stationary bike manufacturers. No, I'm kidding. Actually, the answer is just one word, and that word is oil. Oil-related stocks tend to perform the best during periods of high inflation. If you look at the United States oil ETF, it's up nearly 80% in the last 12 months. That said, you really have to be careful if you want to dabble in oil-related companies. If you zoom out a bit on their chart beyond just the last 12 months, you'll notice a clear trend to lower highs and lower lows for the last 20 years. So if you decide to go heavily into oil during this period, you really have to time getting out pretty much exactly right, because generally speaking, commodities like oil tend to trend lower with time, not higher. Inflationary environments are where commodities like oil tend to shine, and then they pretty much stink the rest of the time. So what does inflation do to S&P 500 stocks and other stocks? Well, according to a recent Wells Fargo report, small stocks top larger ones, and S&P 500 growth stocks outperform value during periods of inflation. And this may be counterintuitive, as energy stocks are typically included in value indexes and ETFs. And yet, S&P 500 value stocks rose just 8% during inflationary periods. That's nearly half the 12% gain that growth stocks had. And if growth stocks are good, small stocks are even better. U.S. small stocks rose 15% during inflationary times since the year 2000. Regardless of anything, whether you're considering value or growth stocks, my two cents is that you want to make sure the companies you invest in have enough cash on hand. You don't want a company that needs to raise money to fund its operation in this type of environment, because they either won't be able to raise the money they need, in which case that is catastrophic for the company, or they will be able to raise the cash that they need at really expensive rates, and these rates are going to eat into their profits substantially. The third investment options that investors can consider is real estate. Real estate in inflationary environments tends to perform better than stocks and cash. House prices and rent rates tend to rise with inflation, although rising interest rates can put a damper on how much houses rise in price, since the more expensive it becomes to borrow, the less willing and able buyers there will be in the market. According to a 43-year review on a certain private real estate index, total returns for real estate were robust during years of inflation. A recent example is the 12 months ending in Q3 of 2021, when annual real GDP growth and inflation rates were 4.9% and 5.4% respectively, but the property index posted a healthy annual rate of return of 12.1%. The challenge with investing in real estate as a Muslim is finding a truly halal source of financing. Without financing, investing in real estate is much more difficult just from a feasibility perspective, and even if you are able to invest in real estate without any financing, your returns are going to be much more modest. The fourth popular investment option is gold. Gold investors often view gold as a hedge or protection against inflation. The truth is, based on historical data, gold's return has had really little connection to inflation. For example, gold investors lost 10% on average from 1980 to 1984. A period of high inflation. Annual inflation during this time was 6.5%. Keep in mind, the Federal Reserve tries to target a 2% annual inflation rate. Similarly, gold yielded a negative 7.6% return from 1988 to 1991, a period when inflation was about 4.6%. Again, here, more than twice what the Federal Reserve in the United States targets. However, investors won big from 1973 to 1979, when the annual inflation rate averaged 8.8%. During this period, gold returned a whopping 35% return. So if you think that gold will necessarily protect you against inflation, historical data suggests otherwise. That said, while it isn't protection against inflation necessarily, gold is a good source of diversification because it sort of has a mind of its own. So just because other assets are moving in a certain direction, that doesn't mean gold is necessarily going to move in a certain direction, and that provides diversification to investor portfolios. The final investment option we'll cover is Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. Since Bitcoin emerged in 2009, it has greatly outperformed all other asset classes. From 2011 to 2021, the average annual return for Bitcoin was 230%. This is 10 times higher than the NASDAQ 100, the second best performing asset class of this decade. In terms of providing protection against inflation, even though Bitcoin proponents suggest that it is designed to do exactly this, and I am, in fact, one of those proponents, we can't really say it fills this role yet, since so far, Bitcoin basically performs like a high-risk technology stock. This makes sense, since it is an emerging technology that largely attracts technology investors. That said, if you think Bitcoin has a good long-term investing thesis, as I do, and you have a long-term investment horizon, then buying when the Bitcoin price dips seems like a pretty prudent idea. The same logic applies to any other cryptocurrency project you may be considering. Just note that if Bitcoin can be viewed for investment purposes as a high-risk technology stock, any other altcoin is a super-duper high-risk technology stock. Now, regardless of where you decide to put your money, whether it's cash or stocks or real estate or gold or Bitcoin or some other cryptocurrency, I think it's wise to say that you should focus your investing on the highest conviction names in your portfolio. Because during times of adversity, you really want your best players on the field, so to speak. So that's really what I've been doing. I've been reducing the number of names that I have in my portfolio and really doubling down on my highest conviction names during this period. If you would like to follow my portfolios, you can do so. We have now moved to our own platform. We're no longer on Buy Me a Coffee. I've consumed an incredibly dangerous amount of coffee during the recent period. So we moved to our own platform where you don't have to buy me a coffee. You can sign up to become a PIF member on practicalislamicfinance.com. And for those who do not know, the first 300 members that we get on practicalislamicfinance.com, as a show of appreciation to our first members, we will lock in their rates, their membership rates forever. So they'll have a lifetime rate and they will avoid any annual increases in their membership costs so long as they are members. So check it out. Consider becoming a PIF member. Like and subscribe if you enjoyed this video. And until next time, make sure to take care of yourself. Assalamu alaikum and peace be upon you all. Thank you for listening to the Practical Islamic Finance Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it and would like to leave us a review, we would greatly appreciate it. Until next time, take care of yourself. Assalamu alaikum and peace be upon you all.